ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
All right, if everyone is set and ready, you know what? So am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
There's 25 questions in five categories. Okay, our categories tonight are category number one, apocalyptic cinema. Apocalyptic cinema. Category number two, paper. Category number three, capital cities by district. Category number four, vehicles and vessels. And category number five, woodwinds. All right. Apocalyptic cinema, paper, capital cities by district, vehicles and vessels, woodwinds. Terence from Wanneroo is going to kick us off. Hi, Terence.
Hey, how you doing?
Not too bad. Yes, no, I think pretty well. Pretty well. Now, what do you like here? Any of this?
I think I'll go woodwinds because I do play clarinet.
Oh, do you really? Okay. Do you play in an orchestra? Do you play in an orchestra?
No. I play at home when no one's around.
Oh, okay. Can you play Stranger on the Shore, Terence?
I play pretty well, just not publicly.
Okay. All right, question number one, woodwinds. In Peter and the Wolf, Terence, which low-pitched woodwind represents grandfather?
Is it a bassoon?
Correct. Yes, it is. It's a bassoon. It's a beautiful sound, the clarinet. It's not that, is it? It's difficult to play well, but you can get a reasonable sound out of it, can't you, Terence?
You can, but it's becoming less popular. I think orchestras are tending towards lower and higher instruments, and so that, as that kind of middle child, it's just becoming a bit less represented.
Oh, okay. Don't worry, it'll come back. Doctor in the TARDIS from WA says, I'll have some news on who's filling in while I'm away next week. I'll let you know next week once it all gets firmed up. Alrighty, question number two. We're staying in woodwinds?
Yep.
The Japanese shakuhachi flute is traditionally made from which grass?
Bamboo.
Correct. Yes. I'm not familiar with the Japanese shakuhachi flute, but it is made from bamboo. All right, question number three. Terence, blowing well. Which woodwind instrument takes its name from the Latin word for clear?
Clear. Perspicacia. Okay. Clear. Is it a clarinet?
Is that your answer?
Clarinet would be my answer.
Correct. Yes. I hoped you would get that, given that it is your instrument. Have you had lessons, Terence, or are you self-taught?
I took lessons for many, many years, and then I switched to classical guitar.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife and I run a little choir, and so I get to play guitar every week. But clarinet has been, that's relegated to my childhood now. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. So you play clarinet to yourself and guitar for others?
Correct, yes. Yep, I'm a much better guitarist than I ever was a clarinetist.
Oh, okay. Well, they're very different skills, Terence.
They are. The building blocks, reading the music helps, but even the music is slightly different between the instruments, of course.
Yeah, that's very true. I'll run out of conversation on this topic very shortly because my knowledge ends here, Terence.
in two more questions.
Question number four. Okay, woodwinds we're in. Oh, these are too easy for you. Because its pitch rarely changes, which double reed instrument usually leads the tuning of an orchestra?
Double reed would be an oboe.
Correct. Wow, these questions were made for you, Terence.
Weren't they? Yep.
Yes, expert home clarinetist and guitarist. Okay, there's one left in woodwinds, and I'm sure you're going to take it.
Hope so.
Ingrid from Landers had the clarinet. Jane from Homebush had the clarinet. Harry had oboes. All righty, question number five. Last one in woodwinds. Although its English name is the Italian word for small, which instrument is known as an ottavino in Italy?
Would it be a piccolo?
Correct. Yes,
very good.
A piccolo. There we go. All righty. Well, that's it. That's it for woodwind. So you're out of the orchestra now. You're on your own.
Yep.
And you've got five on the trot. Very good, Terence. Question number six. You're going to have to choose another category. So we have apocalyptic cinema, paper, capital cities by district, or vehicles and vessels.
Can we do apocalyptic cinema?
We can. Apocalyptic cinema.
Great.
Question number six. Which 1995 post-apocalyptic movie opens with a shot of Kevin Costner drinking his own wee?
Oh, is it Waterworld?
Correct. It is, yes.
Okay.
Waterworld.
Never seen it.
righto. Question number seven. Apocalyptic cinema. Wowee. All right. Staying here?
Yep.
Mary says, Phil, I'm an orchestral muso. I can tell you there'll always be a couple of clarinets in every orchestra. They are absolutely necessary for all the repertoire we play.
They are, yep. A lovely instrument, beautiful sound.
Mm. Very old. Are they a very old instrument, the clarinet? I don't know.
I think they might be, in the same way that a viola tends to be an older instrument than the violin.
Yeah.
But, hey, look, I could be wrong, you know.
Yeah, no, I can understand flutes and so on. I wonder who figured out that blowing through something with a vibrating reed attached made a noise. I wonder who figured that out.
Someone smarter than me.
No, The answer is the bloke who plays the gum leaf, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Is that a similar idea? Like I said, it sort of is, isn't it?
Yeah, vibrating. Yep, filament. Yep.
They actually
have reeds now that are made of like a polymer plastic. They are much longer lasting, but they have quite a different timbre to them, quite a different sound.
Is that right? A friend of mine years ago, well, I lost touch with her now, but she was an oboist, and when she bought new reeds, she had to go and soak them in a tub of water. So you reckon you don't have to do that anymore? Do you have to do that anymore?
No, not with the plastic ones. No, they're ready to go. But they cost, 50, 60 bucks each.
Mm. I somehow think that's rather disappointing, Terence. I like the idea you had to soak them. all righty, question number seven. We're in apocalyptic cinema. Based on a Cormac McCarthy novel, which 2009 movie stars Viggo Mortensen and Cody Smith-McPhee as a father and his son in a post-apocalyptic wasteland?
That would be The Road. Excellent book. And I read it when my kid was about the same age as the kid in the story, and he's sitting next to me in the car right now, actually.
Oh, yeah.
You say hello, Rick? Say hello.
what's his name, Terrence?
Yeah. Ruben. Hey. He's just been to his school's award night. He picked up an award.
Oh, Ruben, good job. What did he get an award for, Terrence?
It was the, what was it called, Ru?
Like most improved.
Most improved student, something like that. Some sort of general overall improvement award.
Hey, how about that? That's pretty good.
Yeah, smash it.
On your Ruben. Got on your Ruben. What year is he going into next year?
Year 8.
Okay. Year 8. Second. Well, he'll have a grip on high school by now, you know.
Yeah, he's in the swing of it. He's a bit.
Good on you. All righty. Question number 8. Apocalyptic cinema. Yep.
Yep. Keep going.
Set in Yucatan around the year 1511, who directed the 2006 movie Apocalypto?
Mel Gibson.
Correct.
Yeah, excellent movie.
Correct. Correct. Yep. Not bad. All right, that's eight. On the trot, did the breed you start as an animal call, says my texter. Oh, you mean like those duck thing, those, what do you call those lures you have for ducks? I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know. But they work, those duck calls just work like a recorder, don't they? You blow through, it's not a reed, is it?
No. I think it's like a whistly sort of device. You just blow through it and it does the thing.
All righty. Yeah. All right. Question number nine. Are we staying with Apocalyptic Cinema?
Yep. Stick with that.
Which 1981 Australian post-apocalyptic action movie was released as The Road Warrior in the US?
That's Mad Max, and it still has Mel Gibson. Is that correct?
I want some more detail.
Mad Max Thunderdome?
Not Thunderdome, no.
Oh!
No, sorry, mate. Right. Thanks, Terrence.
Very
good job. Good job. Well done. Excellent work. It wasn't bad. Adrian from Bella Vista says, my duck whistle has a reed in it. Good. That'd make them hard to play, wouldn't it? I thought duck whistles were supposed to be easy to play. Harry in the Bay had Mel Gibson too. Yes. Maurice from Albany's got the right answer. Harry in the Bay also got the right answer here. Maria's got the right answer as well. What about Sean from Wongavan? G'day, Sean.
G'day, Phil. How are you, mate?
Oh, not bad. He was all right, Terence, wasn't he?
Oh, he did very well, mate. Very well.
Mind you, he lucked out with the clarinet questions. I mean, the woodwind questions in a way, didn't he? I mean,
well, the five of them were fairly easy, yeah.
You know what? They're only easy if you know the answers.
Very true. The answer for this, I've got no idea. I just assumed it was Mad Max, but I'll go Mad Max Road Warrior.
No, it was released as The Road Warrior in the US. What was the 1981 Australian post-apocalyptic action movie? It was released as The Road Warrior in the US.
Okay, so just Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome.
No, it's not Thunderdome. Sorry. No, Dom in Brunswick. G'day, Dom.
Hi, how you going, Phil?
Very well. Very well. What are we after here? Which 1981 Australian post-apocalyptic action movie was released as The Road Warrior in the US?
I think I got much to add. Sorry, I've got Mad Max on the tip of my tongue, but no advances on Thunderdome, sorry.
I think we've established that it's Mad Max, but which one?
Mad Max Episode 1.
No, not Mad Max Episode 1. No. thank you, Ben. I'm going to paraphrase your comment, Ben. Ducks don't pay for anything. They stick their bills up their backside. Very good. You don't use that word, Ben, but, you know. Did Terence win a black magnet? No, he did not, but he got very close. Thank you, Phil in Brisbane. Yes, the clarinet is prominent right at the beginning of Rhapsody in Blue. What an entrance. It sure is. Yeah, it sure is. I lost my signal on 702 for a minute. Did something go wrong or was it my radio? Don't know. I don't know. We're broadcasting without incident. Should be okay. Bo's in the truck. G'day, Bo.
Greetings. How are we?
Greetings. Yes, no, I'm extremely well. I'm extremely well. Latif said, Phil, Terence's answers were faster than the questions. He was good, wasn't he? He was good. He was on a high because his kid Reuben had just won an award. That's good. Question nine. Which 1981 Australian post-apocalyptic action movie was released as The Road Warrior in the US? What was it here?
Warrior.
Hello? Sorry, Bo, we missed that.
Road Warrior was Mad Max 2.
So what's your answer?
Mad Max 2.
That's it, Mad Max 2. That's what I was after, yeah. Exactly. Yep. Mad Max 2. I mean, it's probably slightly harsh for Terence, but, you know, that's what we are. I know. Now, Bo, I did offer him another opportunity. Question number 10. We've got one left in Apocalyptic Cinema, if you like, or we could move to paper or capital cities by district or woodwind. No, we can't. Woodwinds are all over. Or vehicles and vessels.
Oh, tossing up between two of them. I'll go vehicles and vessels.
Vehicles and vessels. Question number 10. The name of which vehicle comes from the French for walking hospital?
Ambulance.
Yes. Ambulance. Correct. Ambulance. Harry in the Bay says, if you're talking clarinet music, Stranger on the Shore by Acca Bilk has got to take the prize. Harry, were you listening? I asked him about Stranger on the Shore. I said, can you play Stranger on the Shore? That's the kind of, that's your thing, isn't it? If you're playing the clarinet, you've got to play, you ought to be able to play some Acca Bilk, I would think. Ian from Browley, back on duck call, says, if you stick a duck in the oven, it's Bill Withers. Hang on, Dave from, this is normally Dave from North Mead sort of territory here, Bo, but anyway. I know, I only read them out because I reckon if you stick a duck in the oven, it's Bill Withers. Yeah, right.
I like the way some people's minds work.
Ah, dear. Jackie says, bring back the woodwind chat. I was loving it. Now, question number 11. We're in vehicles and vessels.
Yeah, I'll stay there.
Oh, this is up your alley for a bloke behind the wheel for a living. What are Germany's big three automobile manufacturers?
Germany would be Mercedes, BMW and Audi.
Correct. Yes, Audi, owned by Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, owned by Daimler, and BMW. I don't know, who owns BMW? Who owns the Chinese must own one of them, mustn't they, Bo?
I think half the BMWs are built in China.
Oh, yeah, they are, sure. I mean, they must be. Half the cars. I told you a friend of mine was very, you know, he was very proudly showing off. I think I said that, I told you this before, but was very proudly showing off his new Volvo, you know. And he said, you know, that's the thing. I just, he said, you know, I just love that Scandinavian engineering. And I said, you mean your new Chinese car? He said, "What? What are you talking about? This is the Volvo." I said, "Yeah, it's made in China."
Yeah, I'm driving a Volvo as we speak.
Oh yeah, but I don't think is that one made in China. I don't think it is. Is it? Or maybe it is.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. The plaque on it says "Made in Sweden," but I suspect it's only the plaque is made in Sweden.
Actually, I don't know the truck bit. Maybe the maybe the trucks still are made in Sweden. Maybe they are. I know the cars though, because it's owned by Geely these days. I think anyway, isn't it? At least the car business is. I don't know about the truck business.
Yeah, Ford owned them for a while and then sold them to Geely or whoever.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for my text. The texter says, the clarinet was first used regularly in the orchestra by Mozart, so that would have been around the 1770s. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Very, very quick little thing for you on BMWs.
Yeah.
I've got an old BMW, 2001, and some idiot T-boned me a couple of years back, and when it was in at the panel beater, it took them a week and a half to fix the car. Took them 12 weeks to get the car back to me, waiting on one door rubber. Apparently, BMW door rubbers are made in Ukraine.
Is that right? BMW used to make cars, didn't they? And then, what was it, after the First World War, they couldn't make them, wasn't it? And they started making motorbikes and things? Maybe it was the other way around. I forget.
I'm not really sure. I think they were into something. Airplanes and stuff at one stage too.
No, that's it. Thank you. I knew I was off the track here, but that's it. They were aeroplane manufacturers. That's right, because their little blue and white, their blue and black famous logo is a stylized aeroplane propeller, isn't it?
Yeah, supposed to be a spinning propeller.
Yeah. That's right. They made aeroplanes, and I think after the First World War they were not allowed to because of the treaty. And they started making motorbikes, and I think, well, that led to vehicles. I think that's how it went.
I wonder if the Red Baron flew a BMW.
You see, that's a good question, Bo. I don't know. Maybe.
I think it was a Fokker, but I don't know.
No, it was. Yeah, it was a Fokker. It was a Fokker. That's right. one of the all-time great names for an aeroplane, Bo.
Yeah, especially with an accent.
There's a funny story about someone trying. You remember the old Fokker Friendship that used to fly around Australia?
I've been on a few of them.
Exactly. A very good aeroplane because you could see everything because the wing was on the top. But there was a wonderful encounter, I think it was in Adelaide, when someone was trying to get a ticket for it, and the bloke behind the counter says, "Sorry, Ocker, the Fokker's chocker." Which is like, if you weren't Australian, I think you'd wonder, what did he just say? What did he just say? What?
Yeah,
sorry, Ocker, the Fokker's chocker. dear. Question number 12, I think. Are we 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11? Yeah, we're up to question number 12. Bo, you're doing well. Everyone's doing well tonight. Vehicles and vessels.
Yep.
Okay. What's the smallest type of blood vessel in the body?
Capillary?
Correct. A capillary. Excellent work. Wow. What did you start with? Did you start with Mad Max?
No. Yeah, Mad Max.
Mad Max. So you've had 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, I'm on a roll.
Jeez, what's going on here, Bo?
Don't worry, we'll fix that soon enough.
All this car talk has got you going. BMW cars for Australia are made in South Africa, Germany and the USA. Oh, hang on. Someone says here Volvo trucks are assembled in Brisbane. Really?
Assembled, they get shipped over in pieces.
They get shipped over as CKD kits or something, do they? Okay.
Yeah.
Like an
IKEA flat pack.
Yeah. Someone said, when the bloke said, "Sorry, Ocker, the Fokker's chocker," he should have replied, "Well, Fokker you." We're skirting the bounds of respectability here, Bo, but that's often been the case on this program. Yes. But apparently the Volvo trucks are still owned by the Volvo Corporation of Sweden. There you go.
Not good.
Well, Greg in Geelong makes a very good point here, Bo. He says, Fokker is a much better name for an aircraft than a Sopwith Camel. Well, I entirely agree with that. Who would want to be flying in a camel? I don't think so. Question number 12. We're in vehicles and vessels.
Might as well stay there.
For 5 on the trot. How many engines does the Airbus A340 have?
340? Oh. Now I'm into the guesswork territory. I'm going to say 2.
Not correct.
Bugger.
Sorry, Bo. I thought you'd be all right with that one.
Nah. Strong point.
good on you, mate. Thank you. See you later, Bo. Bye. See you later. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Staying with people in trucks, on the road. Hello, Tara.
How are you, Phil? How you doing tonight?
Yeah, no, I'm doing all right. Derek from Perth says Volvo trucks, therefore, are like IKEA flat packs, which are also made in Sweden. Well, I suppose that's true in a way. I doubt the packs are...
The Volvo trucks and Mack trucks are all put together in the same factory at Waco in Brisbane.
Oh, are they? Okay. So they don't come in as built up things. They come in and get assembled here.
No, yeah, all assembled. So the chassis, so everything comes in bits and pieces, and they put it all together.
So you need an Allen key to put them all together, do you?
Pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty much.
I guess. Thank you, Chris from Pakenham. The BMW logo represents both the company's Bavarian origins and its history as an aircraft engine manufacturer. Yeah, that's right, Chris, you're right. They didn't make the aeroplane, I think, as such. They made the aeroplane engine. I think that's it. All right, we're up to question number 12 here, Tara. How many engines does the Airbus A340 have?
Well, I can just take a guess. I knew all the woodwind ones. A340,
okay.
Airbus. I'll say toss up between 4 and 6. I'll say 4.
Correct. Yeah, 4. I don't think it, does any commercial aeroplane have 6 engines these days? I don't think so, do they?
Some of the military ones do. The big transporter ones.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, those massive, great Antonovs and things like that.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. 1-300-800-222. Okay, we've turned the corner here, so we've got question 13. Now, we've got one left in vehicles and vessels.
We might as well get rid of that.
Or we could move, of course. Okay, which 1981 sports film takes its name from a line in William Blake's poem Jerusalem?
So,
we're in a category called the category is called vehicles and vessels.
Which 1981
sports film takes its name from a line in William Blake's poem Jerusalem?
I don't know the poem, but we'll just have an educated guess.
1981
sports film. Vehicles and vessels.
Vehicles and vessels.
I'm just going to say the replacements.
No, not the replacements. Thank you, Tara. See ya.
Thanks, Phil.
Bye. 1-300-800-222 is the number. That's a nice point. Larry in Cape Town in South Africa says, Phil, strange thing about the word Volvo and the car of that name, which was known for its safety. The Latin word Volvo, Volvare, Volvavi, Volvatum means to roll. Well, it struck me as a strange mismatch. I guess, well, I wonder where Volvo comes. Is it from the Latin or is it a Swedish word? Don't know. thank you, Shoalwater Shane, for your Fokker friendship joke. I think I like it, but maybe not. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Where are we? Who's next up here? Sorry, Pete'll been waiting on here because we've had some cracking answers tonight. Hello, Anne from Caulfield. Hello, g'day, Anne.
Hi, how are you going?
Well, we've had some pretty good competitors tonight. So people have had to wait on.
Terrence was really very good.
He was excellent. I know he was on a roll. His kid had won a prize. He was answering questions. He was, I thought he might get to 10 actually.
I think he should have.
I might have been a bit harsh with him about the Mad Max, but you know what we like here, Anne. We are harsh.
Oh yeah, believe me, I know.
All right. Question number 13. We're in vehicles and vessels. Which 1981 sports film takes its name from a line in William Blake's poem Jerusalem?
I'm not sure of the year of the film, but I will take a stab at Chariots of Fire.
Correct. Yes, it was. Speaking of vehicles, Chariots of Fire. The line is taken from a poem, Jerusalem, by William Blake.
We We are here today to honour the legend. And remember those few young men. With hope in their hearts. And wings on their heels.
Yeah, it's a mighty film, man. I've seen it quite a few times, and Chariots of Fire. It's a cracker.
I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I've never actually sat down and watched the whole
lot. Oh, you should sit down and watch it once. It's really terrific, actually. All right, question 15. We have no more vehicles and vessels and no more woodwinds.
Ironically, I knew all the vehicle and vessels questions, you know, but anyway.
My texter says, Revolvo and your frivolity. You might like to look at the Australian motor industry from the past. Toyota and Nissan were the same in the 70s and 80s were the same. That's why they had AMI on their badges as Australian Motor Industries. Oh, no, I was fully aware of that. The Australian car industry did have a component of what they used to call, that's why I used the phrase, CKDs, they were called, so completely knocked down, and they were assembled here in, brought here in boxes and assembled here. There were all sorts of tariff considerations, I seem to recall. I think they had a tariff concession if they were CKDs. Elizabeth, great music for Chariots of Fire.
Mm. Yeah.
Brother Tucker says, I can't listen to Chariots of Fire without thinking of Mr. Bean. Do Volvo drivers still wear hats? says my texter. I don't know. That was a thing for a while, wasn't it? It was. I don't know whether it's still a thing. Question 15, what do you want to do? We've got apocalyptic cinema, we've got paper, we've got capital cities by district.
Well, let's try paper, please.
Paper. The weight of paper is commonly measured in GSM. What does GSM stand for?
Oh, something. You know what? I haven't got the foggiest idea, and I'm too tired to guess. So, good night.
Thanks, Anne. Bye-bye. See you later. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Paul's in Kalgoorlie. G'day, Paul.
Oh, g'day. How are we going?
Not bad. It's been pretty hot in the West. Was it the same for you or not?
Yeah, it was 40 degrees today.
Oh, wow.
I'd have stayed with it for a while.
Oh, wow.
I'd be in for a week. And then we get a few days relief, and then it's hot again. So.
Yep. All right. Yes. Question 15. We're in paper. The weight of paper is commonly measured in GSM. What does GSM stand for?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's grams per square meter.
Correct. Yes, it is. It is. It's grams per square meter. Correct. All right. Question number 16. 10 to go. Or in paper, you can have capital cities by district, or you could have apocalyptic cinema.
That's interesting. Apocalyptic cinema, thank you.
Okay. Apocalyptic cinema. I'm 15 and I've never been mentioned on a radio except last night. Is that Ruben? apocalyptic cinema it is. There's one left in apocalyptic cinema, Paul. The highly contagious rage virus causes a zombie outbreak in which 2002 British horror movie?
2002 and British. Now, I love zombie movies. I've seen most of them. I love The Walking Dead. Watched it. Just adored it. I go when everyone else gave up, I kept going.
like a zombie, just keep walking.
Yeah. As British, would it be the comedy one, Shaun of the Dead?
Not Shaun of the Dead. No. Sorry, Paul. Thanks, mate.
I've gone.
See you later. No, it's not. Aaron from Kerrang. G'day, Aaron.
No, g'day. How are you going?
Not bad, yeah. Question six.
Bad, yeah.
A highly contagious rage virus causes a zombie outbreak in which 2002 British horror movie?
Oh. Yeah, that one's got me stumped. I've seen a lot of them as well, but, yeah, couldn't tell you, to be honest.
No good. Okie doke, thanks anyway. Andy in Toowoomba says, I'm driving a Volvo at the moment and I'm not wearing a hat. Good on you, Andy. Amy says, the only contribution I have to the car conversation is that Subarus are a distinctly lesbian car. What? I've never heard that, Amy. Where does that come from? The Subaru is a star formation, isn't it? Harry in the Bay, yes, that's correct, Harry. That is absolutely correct. The only people that hate on BMW cars, says my text to the people who haven't been behind the wheel of one. There you are. Not all of us have that kind of privilege, I guess. Tracy in Launceston. Hi, Tracy.
G'day, Phil.
Question 16 we're up to. Apocalyptic cinema. The highly contagious rage virus causes a zombie outbreak in which 2002 British horror movie?
I originally thought it was Shaun of the Dead as well. And I don't know of any other British movies, but I'll just say Outbreak. I don't think that's right.
No, it's not Outbreak. No. A few others have said Outbreak, yeah. No, Trace, thank you. Bye. See you later. No, it's not Outbreak. Steve in Hobart. G'day, Steve.
Yo.
Yo. Question 16, apocalyptic cinema. The highly contagious rage virus causes a zombie outbreak in which 2002 British horror movie?
Oh, God.
Pat from the Point's got this.
Yes. And it's British. British, isn't it?
Yes, the highly contagious rage virus causes a zombie outbreak in which 2002 British horror movie?
No, I'm sorry.
No good? No. Okay, Steve, thank you. Chris from Pakenham has got it. He said we just watched it tonight. Okay. Volvo drivers eat iced Vovos. I don't think so, Lee. But thank you anyway. Glenn in Frankston. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Phil, how are you, mate?
Not bad. Question 16. Apocalyptic cinema, the highly contagious rage virus causes a zombie outbreak in which 2002 British horror movie?
I think it was 28 Days Later.
Correct. Yes, it was. 28 Days Later. Very good. All right. Well, we've only got 9 left here. We've got 5 in capital cities by district and 4 in paper.
Let's go to paper, maybe.
Paper. Question number 17. Which British Prime Minister famously held up a piece of paper and said it was, quote, symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again?
If he had his time again, he probably wouldn't have said that. Mr. Neville Chamberlain, I think.
Correct. Yes, it was. Neville Chamberlain.
And he was so, I think the weird thing about it was he was so happy about it too that he thought he'd done the right thing.
I think didn't he come off the plane and say, yeah. I have a paper and it bears his mark and mine.
Yeah, and I think, I don't want to say he was mocked for it, but I think it's a bit like sort of Kerr's curve in Australian politics. He thought it was his finest moment. It probably wasn't his finest moment.
Yeah, I don't know I haven't read enough about what the historical assessment of Neville Chamberlain was. Well, of course, you know, because he was known as the great appeaser, of course, because he was trying to appease Hitler. But then again, you might think, who was it? Churchill later said, jaw is better than war. So, you know. But he was widely ridiculed, of course, that's right.
Don't start me on Churchill's love of war, because we all know what Mr. Churchill did to our love of troops back in the First World War. So we won't open that Pandora's box, will we?
And for that matter, in the Second World War too.
Oh, again, yeah.
Because we were promised, we were promised aeroplanes, for example, and took a great deal of trouble to get any of them.
Look, it's different times, but look, my grandfather, God bless him, he's gone to God. He never spoke about the war. But, yes, he wasn't a big fan of anything Britain in relation to the war.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway.
No, that is true. That is true. All right.
We'll move on.
But it was completely quite overt that Churchill had no interest in defending Australia at all. No.
Not at all. And it was at the time initially, and obviously we weren't around then, but a lot of the Australians were for king and country.
And I think
they played on that a bit, unfortunately.
Mm. Alrighty, we're in a category called paper, but you can move to capital cities by district if you want.
We'll have another go at paper, please.
Paper. Who won the 1995 Miles Franklin Award for her novel The Hand That Signed the Paper?
Miles Franklin. No. I can't even give you a guess. Well, that's terrible.
Thanks, Glenn. See you, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Razza from Dunnall, he says, I think BMW stands for British Motor Works. No, it doesn't. We've always called them Big Mouth Wombats. I don't understand your joke, Rosa. Thank you for sending it in anyway. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Sorry, Karen, there's been a lot of delay tonight because people have been answering questions well. How are you?
Hi.
Who won the 1995 Miles Franklin Award for her novel The Hand That Signed the Paper?
I think that was Helen Dale.
Yes. What was she called when she won the Miles Franklin Award?
That's all I know. Not sure.
All right. Look, I'll say no. I mean, I'm probably being being a bit harsh. Simone from Ballarat. G'day, Simone.
Oh, hey, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good. Question 18 we're up to. Paper. Who won the 1995 Miles Franklin Award for her novel The Hand That Signed the Paper?
Well, I didn't hear what the lovely lady said before, but I know I'll be wrong, so I'll just say Margaret Atwood, which is wrong.
It's wrong.
But I've got a Subaru, and in my day, like 20 years ago, a Subaru was sort of a young couple going down to Apollo Bay.
Yeah.
But the whole lesbian thing is the Foresters, but also these days...
Is that a thing, though? Is it? I've never heard of it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, on the odd occasion I get told I've got a lesbian car, which is fine, but...
I honestly have never heard of it, Simone.
So, yeah, but the older Subarus, young P-plater guys like to go for those, the older Subaru Foresters. Hey, listen, before I go, do you like sardines on toast?
Yeah, I love sardines on toast.
Oh, I knew you would.
Yeah. It's absolutely one of my favourite things.
Is it really? I knew it would be. I've been having them lately and I thought I'm going to ask you when I ring up because I just bet you do. There you go. How's that for psychic?
Good on you, Simone. Thanks, Simone. See you. Bye. My texter says, although Subarus and lesbians is a bit of a stereotype, it actually has merit. In the 1990s, Subaru actively marketed directly to the LGBT community through... cleverly disguised and coded advertisements. It's a wonderful story and a masterclass in marketing brilliance. Oh, I didn't know that. I love these kind of things, and it didn't. That has passed me by, but there you are. Soft Dog says England was struggling to defend London. Not sure Bondi was high on Churchill's list. No, I get that, Soft Dog. I get that. But we were promised things which did not turn out to be the case. But anyway... 1-300-800-222. To all those who've not seen Chariots of Fire, you must watch it more than once and really listen to the script. One of the most profound and meaningful movie scripts ever written. Truly, rules for life. One of the best quotes when it comes to sporting abilities. Man cannot put in what God left out. That's true. No, there's some magnificent lines in it. That is quite correct. Cameron in South Perth. Hi, Cameron.
Philip, how are you?
I'm all right. Who won the 1995 Miles Franklin Award for her novel The Hand That Signed the Paper?
Just before I tell you, I had a mate who used to drive a Volvo up and down the Tanami track.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, what's out there? And he said, nothing, but there's plenty of it.
I like that.
And now to answer your question, haven't got a clue, so I'll speak to you later.
See you, Cameron. Bye-bye. Thanks anyway. Haven't got a clue is a fine enough answer. Dave from Sonano. G'day, Dave.
G'day, Phil. How you going?
I'm going very well. Paper. Who won the 1995 Miles Franklin Award for her novel The Hand That Signed the Paper?
There was controversy about this. Helen Demidenko.
That's correct, yes. Now, yeah. Helen Dale is also correct because she also subsequently called herself that, Helen Dale. But at the time she won it, she won it under the name Helen Demidenko. Until that, unfortunately, it turned out that there was all sorts of problems with the novel, which was said to be a recollection of actual events, but it wasn't. She'd made a lot of it up. Question number 19. We're in paper. Can move, if you like. Capital cities by district, or you can stay here.
Let's move to capital cities by district.
You may regret this, Dave, but here we go.
I always regret changing topics with you, Phil.
Question number 19. Leopoldstadt. Josefstadt.
I regret it already.
I know you would. I know, I can tell. Leopoldstadt, Josefstadt, and Favoriten are districts of which European capital?
Let's go Munich.
Nine.
Ah.
Not me. See you, Dave. Thanks, No. Yes. where are we? Now, plenty of people have been hanging on here. Sorry, Trev. The Trevs, I'll come to you. Linda in Maitland. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. Capital cities by district.
I was going to say Chariots of Fire is one of my favourite films. And,
same here.
And I have visions of Nigel Havers hurdling with champagne glasses on top of the hurdles.
Yeah. Lovely, isn't it?
Yes.
And anyway, what's that great line for when, what's the Scottish guy who's very Christian, very religious and, very governed by what God. And, of course, he can't run on Sundays because it's
I'm
trying to think of his name.
Yes, because of the Sabbath, yes.
And he says, and that wonderful line he said, I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes, and he went off to be a missionary in China. And
yeah.
I was going to say that was that.
Question 19, capital cities by district. Leopoldstadt, Josefstadt, and Favoriten are districts of which are European capital.
I'll just have a guess and say Vienna.
Correct.
Oh.
If that's a guess, it's spot on. It is Vienna. All right, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 left. We've got 2 in paper and 4 in capital cities by district.
I'll have a paper one, thank you.
Paper. Paper giants was a 2011 mini-series about the founding of which Australian fashion magazine?
Fashion magazine?
Hmm. Paper Giants was a 2011 mini-series about the founding of which Australian fashion magazine?
I was going to say Australian Women's Weekly.
Is that your answer?
Yes.
Correct. Sorry, not correct. not correct, sorry. No, that's not correct. Sorry, Linda.
I was thinking of one of the others, but I was thinking the others aren't really fashion. They're sort of general. Righto, I can see Asher Keddie. Anyway, thank you.
Bye. See you later. Keith in Busselton. Hi, Keith.
Hello.
Hi. Paper Giants was a 2011 mini-series about the founding of which Australian fashion magazine?
Well, I wouldn't have a clue, but before we go there, the Subaru was called a lemon car. All right?
A what?
A lemon.
Mm-hmm.
A lemon car. But besides that, what was the question again?
Paper Giants was a 2011 mini-series about the founding of which Australian fashion magazine?
I'll just say Australian Vogue.
No, not Vogue. Not Vogue. No, it wasn't Vogue. Bill from Adelaide. G'day, Bill.
Hi.
Paper Giants was a 2011 miniseries about the founding of which Australian fashion magazine?
And
somebody, what was the first lady said? Can you tell me or not?
Well, I'll tell you if it's already been said and I'll give you another crack.
Oh, I think she said Woman's Day.
Is that your answer?
Yeah, I'll leave it at that. Woman's Day.
Not Woman's Day. She didn't say Woman's Day. She said the Women's Weekly. Sorry, Bill. Thank you. No. Latif in West Brunswick. Hi, Latif.
Hello, Phil.
Paper Giants was a 2011 miniseries about the founding of?
I just can't remember. Thank you.
No, good. Thanks, Latif. No worries. That is okay. The Trev. Sorry, Trev in Surfers Paradise. We've had a lot of customers tonight. G'day.
Well, you've got another customer.
Paper Giants was a 2011 miniseries about the founding of which Australian fashion magazine?
Well, the best I can come up with is one of two, but start with C. I'm going to go Clio.
Correct. Yes, it was. It was Clio. Wow.
This month, Clio magazine talks to Don Dunstan, South Australia's dynamic premier, and that's only the beginning.
The sleep-around girl, promiscuity or misery?
Well, Clio was important for Kerry. It was his first big challenge. It was his first major success, and he wanted it to work.
Yes, Ida Buttrose, speaking about who was, I think, the first editor, wasn't she, Ida Buttrose, of Clio magazine, on which which was the basis for Paper Giants. All right, we've got a few left, not very many. We'll answer them straight after the latest news.
The Mighty Challenge.
Question 21 we're up to now. Trev from Surfers Paradise was up on deck. G'day, Trev. Welcome back.
Oh, is that me?
It is you, Trev, yes. Now, we've got capital cities by district. There are four questions there, there's one left in paper.
You know, I'm conflicted because paper, I'm a writer and I should know it. And I think I'm a geographer and I should know that. But, you know, I'm going to fail. Toss a coin, regional capitals.
Capital cities by district. Question 21. In which world capital would you find the neighbourhoods of Foggy Bottom, Federal Triangle and Good Hope?
Federal capital.
No, I didn't say that. I said world capital would you find the neighbourhoods of Foggy Bottom, Federal Triangle and Good Hope?
Cape Town.
No, not Cape Town. Sorry, Trev. Not Cape Town. No, thank you. Pearl in Darwin. Hi, Pearl.
Hello, Phil. How are you going?
Pretty good. Question 21 we're up to.
Can I just ask you something?
Yeah.
Earlier, I just tuned in. Did people say that Subaru Foresters were lesbian vehicles?
Simone tells me that there was a thing about them for a while, yes.
But... Oh, my gosh, I'm a bit worried now. I have a 38-year-old son that has a red one and a blue one. What should I think?
I don't know. I have no idea, Pearl.
Oh, my goodness. I shall ask him tomorrow.
I don't know. I'd never heard of it myself, but there you go.
Me neither. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
What do you reckon? Question 21, capital cities by district. In which world capital would you find the neighbourhoods of Foggy Bottom, Federal Triangle and Good Hope?
I have heard about Foggy Bottom, but I can't remember where it is. I don't know, Phil. I'll just guess London.
Not London.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pearl. See ya. No, not London. Samuel in Perth. G'day, Samuel.
Hey, Phil. How are you going?
Not bad. Question 21 we're up to. In which world capital would you find the neighbourhoods of Foggy Bottom, Federal Triangle and Good Hope?
Would that be Washington, D.C.?
Correct, it is. It's Washington, D.C., yes. All right, four to go. Three in capital cities by district, one in paper.
I'll stay with the capital cities, please.
All right, question 22. Garden City, Heliopolis and the City of the Dead are areas of which African capital?
Would that be Pretoria?
Not Pretoria. Sorry, Samuel, no, not Pretoria. Trev from Croydon Park. Hi, Trevor. Sorry, mate. Sorry for waiting on, but it's been a busy. Night.
That's good. I'm glad that Trev from Surfers and Pearl had their go. And you weren't too hard on Terrence about Mad Max, because the movie just plain Mad Max was not a post-apocalyptic movie.
No, it wasn't.
Sorry, you're right there. BMW, the initials are either in the original or in English, Bayerische Motorwerke, Bavarian Motorworks.
Bavarian Motorworks, that's right. Hmm.
And Subaru is the Japanese name for the constellation of the Pleiades.
The Seven Sisters, what we call the Seven Sisters here, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yes, that's right. They still that's on their badge, isn't it? The Pleiades constellation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, capital cities by district: Garden City, Heliopolis, and the City of the Dead are areas of which African capital?
I think that is Cairo.
Correct. It is. They're in Cairo. Yes. All right. Question number 23: capital cities by district. Shinjuku, Shibuya, and Asakusa are districts of which world capital?
Tokyo desu.
Yes, they are capital city. They are districts of Tokyo. All right, two left, one in capital cities, one in paper.
Keep with the capitals.
Defence colony, model town, and Chanakyapuri are neighbourhoods of which world capital?
Just from the last one, I'll guess New Delhi.
Correct, yes. It is New Delhi. Nicely worked. All right, question 25, and for the magnet, Trevor.
Right.
Paper. Which traditional size of paper is believed to have been named after the jester's hat used as a watermark in the 17th century?
Well, the jester's hat is the fool's cap.
The fool's cap, yes. Yes, very good, Trev. Well, nicely done. You're a good player and you have been rewarded. The magnet is yours. Well done.
Thank you, Phil.
All right, put you on hold. We'll get some details from you. Thanks, everyone who played. And thanks for all the things we learn on the Mighty Challenge. I know some people think we were a bit harsh about Helen Demidenko Dale. Oh yeah. Thank you, Chris. In the Southern Waters had Tokyo. Plenty of people had Tokyo. That is true. Arthur Clarke from Dover. Arthur from Dover in Tassie. On the ABC TV news last night, I think they were saying Sumatra in Indonesia was the worst affected flood cyclone damaged area of Southeast Asia. Yeah, more so than Sri Lanka. Yes, look, sorry, I wasn't meaning to suggest that Sri Lanka was any worse off than lots of other places. And you're probably quite right, Arthur. I hadn't looked at it in that way. But it's all across Indonesia, all the way through to Sri Lanka, because of the combination of a number of cyclones, just caused massive devastation everywhere. All right, 1-300-800-222. Nice work, everyone, and a nice challenge.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.